No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose. It's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
News Radio 92.3. This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay. We have on the line Julio Diaz, and we're here to talk about what might be my favorite movie of the year, not named The Odyssey or The Invite, and that is The End of Oak Street, right, Julio?
Yeah, I mean, I can't go quite as far as you're going there. But I mean, because those are the two movies you mentioned. Yes, two of the best movies of the year. But I mean, this is a good movie. Don't get me wrong. I had fun with this movie. I don't think it's one of the best movies of the year.
Okay. Well, tell us what you liked about it.
So this is it's kind of a throwback to like 80s Spielberg films. It's got very much that vibe. It's set in the early 80s. 1982, picturesque suburban neighborhood, and there's the family at the center. It's a couple played by Anne Hathaway and Ewan McGregor. They've got two kids. They've got a family dog, and things aren't necessarily going great with the family, but, you know, solid family unit overall. And there's a huge storm one night, and they wake up, and the entire neighborhood has been moved to prehistoric times, and they're surrounded by dinosaurs and danger everywhere. Meanwhile, you know, there's no real explanation of what happens here. It just happens, and they have to survive, basically living in times when everything around them can kill them, which is not that different from right now.
Right. there's some metaphor there, perhaps. But I'll tell you. And, you know, the premise itself sounds kind of silly and like your typical summer blockbuster. But in my mind, it's sort of the filmmaking that sort of sets it apart. David Robert Mitchell, of course, directed It Follows.
Agreed, which is one of the best horror movies of the last 25 years.
Oh my God, insane!
Nothing technically wrong with this film at all. It's very fun. You're going to go. You're going to have a good time. There's I like the depiction of the dinosaurs as being a little bit more, let's say, scientifically accurate than Jurassic Park. You know, they have feathers and, you know, they're a little more bird-like, not the, you know, the reptilian dinosaurs that we all grew up imagining. They're a little more, you know, scientifically based. And I like the movie goes some places that you don't expect it to go, and it's not necessarily all clean cut and sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it deals in what it deals in. It is, like I said, very much first and foremost a throwback. It's a lot of fun in that regard. I just think there are some better movies this year. I don't think it's bad by any stretch of the imagination, though.
Also features Anne Hathaway in Bangs, we should say.
Throw a rock and you're going to hit an Anne Hathaway movie.
that's true.
It's basically her, Tom Holland, Zendaya, Robert Pattinson, and John Barenthal. And that's everybody that's in every movie this year.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I thought really good use of some zooms, some really great use of foregrounds and backgrounds. And I think it has more pathos than your typical, silly summer blockbuster. I'm just curious, Julio, what's behind The Odyssey and The Invite? What's maybe your third or fourth? What's over The End of Oak Street for you?
I mean, a few things. Spider-Man certainly is definitely way up there. I'm a big fan of another Zendaya movie, The Drama. I'm a big fan of another Anne Hathaway movie, Mother Mary.
Okay.
I don't have my list in front of me, so I'm just rattling things off.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
I do keep a list all year.
Okay, of course. I do too. I will say the drama is not on that list, but you know, we can agree to disagree on that.
Sure.
What I know there's another dinosaur movie that came out this week that my 7-year-old is very interested in seeing.
Yeah, there is. It would be a very jarring double feature for anybody under about 5.
Right.
For a little older, yeah, there's, of course, the Paw Patrol, the Dino movie that's coming out this week as well. So
can't miss
this
it.
This is, you know, if you're a preschooler, if you've got a preschooler, you're already being dragged to this.
Yes, so, yeah. Know. Yeah, look, it's a couple hours on a Saturday, you know. I got to do what I got to do here. Is there anything else that came out this week?
There's a number of movies out this week, actually.
Okay.
The Wrong Girls is one that's getting some attention. This is with Kristen Stewart and Aaliyah Shawkat. Kind of a high-concept comedy where there are a couple of stoners that get a hold of this drug that gives them telepathic powers. The reviews are kind of middling on this, but it's more of a you either love it or you hate it. It's not that everybody is kind of just like, yeah. A lot of people look at the Rotten Tomatoes rating and they think, oh, well, it's good or bad. That's
right.
Not really exactly how Rotten Tomatoes work.
Right.
So, yeah. We've got that one. There's the live recording of Six, the musical from London's West End, which is a fantastic musical if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
It's about the wives of Henry VIII who come back for one night only and form a girl group. And they're having a competition to determine who had it worse with Henry VIII. Really, I've seen the show on Broadway, so you know I'm sure the film version is fantastic too.
Yeah.
Lots to choose from this week.
Excellent. And of course, there's still Spider-Man and the Odyssey and your big summer tent poles
dominating
the theaters. Yeah, get out to the movie theaters. I can co-sign seeing a musical in theater. I saw Hadestown a couple weeks ago in theaters, which was fantastic. But what are you guys going to be watching next week?
Looking forward to there's a big indie film that we've been really excited about for some time called Sex and Death at Camp Miasma.
Yes, Jane Schoenbrunn.
Yeah. Yes. So that's finally coming to Pensacola next week.
But only playing at W Street, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, which, and at like 7:30, like I'm a working adult anyway. my complaints about limited releases aside. But yes, Jane Schoenbrunn of I Saw the TV Glow fame, great, great director.
Yes.
All right, Julio Diaz, he runs the Pensacola Movie Club. Thank you so much for calling in, Julio.
No worries, thank you.
All right, see ya. And we are over to Traffic on the Fives with PJ.
All right, thank you very much. We have a vehicle crash and injuries, Pensacola Boulevard at West Burgess Road. Burgess Road also seeing quite a bit of traffic right now, West Florida High School all the way to Pensacola Boulevard. Also seeing some backups on Palafox Street from Burgess Road to I-10. Use caution. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Hi, folks. This is your Congressman Jimmy Petronas. I'd like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but right now the truth is I'm not feeling so nice. In fact, I am madder than a hornet, and here's why. Social media is harming our children. Kids are being manipulated by AI chatbots. Some have encouraged kids to harm themselves. Others have even committed suicide. You think fentanyl is dangerous? Some of these AI programs are what I call digital fentanyl. They're designed to get our kids hooked. I'm Jimmy Petronas, and I am fighting to change our laws so big tech will pay the price for what they're allowing our kids to see and do. Big tech must not be allowed to hunt our kids online and hook them to this digital fentanyl. We must stop these monsters from hurting our kids. And with your help, we will. I'd be honored to have your vote this primary day, August the 18th, paid for by Friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Santa Rosa, I am Jill Broxenteston, a parent of four amazing children. I understand a strong school system is one of the most important investments we can make in our children's future. That's why I'm running for School Board District 5. My mission is to be your strong advocate for our public school system. I'll lead with transparency and steady leadership to help ensure the long-term success of our district. On August 18th, I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxenteston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
To just do the woohoo with them.
Well, yeah, let's do it.
Hey,
yeah.
This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 1620. We have never done this together on a Friday, and something I'm missing that I normally get when I come in and do the rap is what? It's
transgressors.
The transgressors, normally aimed at folks on your side of the aisle.
Right, right.
So,
the pastor is on vacation.
The pastor.
The victor is on vacation.
The reverend is missing.
Yes.
But I do miss that segment. When I'm coming in here in the morning to do the rap with him on a Friday, I try not to listen to it. I'd rather listen to it in studio with him to watch his reactions,
right.
His face.
No one thinks Andrew is funnier than Andrew.
Yes. Yeah. So I get to watch him listen to himself.
Yeah.
So which is pretty entertaining. And he'll like, if it's something he's particularly excited about how well he did, he'll point at me like, listen, check it out.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
It's like a kid being happy of their coloring or something.
Well, man, we have covered both sides of the aisle.
Yes, we have.
This morning. Your guest Derek.
From
the Democratic side, and then the guest from UWF. We're going to have another guest coming up here at like 8:35-ish. He's a Republican pollster and a strategist, a guy named Woodrow Johnston. I've met him through political campaigns. He's not a local guy here to Pensacola. He's out west, and he's done a bunch of national campaigns. He's done stuff all over the country. So I'm looking forward to having him on the show with us coming up here soon. So
if your name is Woodrow, do you have to get into politics, do you think?
I think it's a requirement.
I think it is.
It was predestined for that young man to be.
His parents set his path out for him.
Put this guy on a political track.
Yeah.
I know he's just now out of the womb and still not sure what he's going to do, but we're going to set him on a path. So, yeah, that's I'm looking forward to hearing from him. He's a pretty sharp young man.
Yeah.
So.
We were talking with Julio about the movies out there, and Jonathan, you've mentioned that you're derelict in your cultural education
for not Nolan's seeing the Odyssey yet.
Thrice.
And how many times?
Thrice.
I can't believe you've
seen
it.
I've spent 9 hours, well, probably with previews and everything, 10 hours in that IMAX theater over the past month. It's great. Let me just say, if you've not been to the new IMAX at AMC on Bayou or the new Dolby Theater, they're very... It's very comfortable. You can lean back. You can recline. It's like these theaters that you get in larger cities, you know, that typically are more comfortable and spacious. Huge screen, wonderful sound. I mean, what an experience that was. If you have any cursory interest in movies whatsoever, would highly recommend that you check it out. And few better ways to check it out than with the Odyssey.
Yeah, I feel bad. I should have already gone and seen this and taken my kids. Is it safe to take the kids to see this?
You know what? It is a very light R. I was surprised it wasn't rated PG-13.
Okay.
There's hardly any blood. There's no sex. There's a little bit of profanity. I think it was largely rated R because of like the very heavy themes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would take my probably 12 or 13 year old to see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But both my girls, the younger ones are 11 and 12.
Yeah.
And they're 6th and 7th. I was talking to you earlier. We were talking about traveling internationally. We took them to Rome, so they got to see the Colosseum. And my 12 year old is just last year they were reading, you know, stuff related to, you know, that time in history.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she was able to connect.
Yeah,
yeah, she was able to connect with that. And now my 11-year-old will get it this year. So she's already had a precursor to what she's going to end up
kind of preview.
So I am remiss in not taking the girls.
It's only made like $1 billion. It needs your money, Jonathan.
Yeah, right. It's kind of a smaller movie.
You know,
right.
It needs your help.
And it's something that needs to be seen in the theater. My brother went to see it and called me afterward and said, Bro. You need to go see this. It's amazing. He also said the same thing about Spider-Man too. So he likes
the movies.
Yeah, he likes to go see movies. I do too. I just haven't made time for it.
Sure.
But starting kids back to school.
Yes.
There's things that you have to do and
I guess that's more important. Familial responsibility takes precedent.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
if you can't slough them off.
But
we will
make it to see The Odyssey before it gets out. I will make that a point.
Let me know what you think of it.
Thank you for reminding me. I need to go do that.
Yes. So we've been talking all morning about, you know, civil discourse, the local races. Something that I wish we had asked Derek about, but we just didn't have time, which is something you and I've discussed, is, you know, the role of social media plays in sort of voter mobilization.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not gotten any mailers this year, which I find suspect because I live in a hotly contested district.
Well, it's because you're a Democrat and you probably don't have anybody that's really at the point of sending mailers out for a primary, right?
But you know what I do get is spam texts and spam calls. I've gotten many texts from David Jolly himself, I'm sure.
Just like I get the emails from Trump, and if you don't respond back to me soon, you're going to be off this list.
Well, and you've been selected as one of Trump's highest, 1,000 biggest fans. It's just interesting, the strategies they use. This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby with News Radio 92.3. Let's go to PJ with traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Pensacola Boulevard at Burgess Road. Taking a look at Burgess Road, also traffic running very heavy from West Florida High School all the way to Pensacola Boulevard, so just use caution through that area. I-10, 110, both looking good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
I have received multiple text messages also from PACs in this primary cycle. My wife has received mailers and texts.
Yeah.
Seen a couple of polls come through. I was surprised to get an actual live poll.
Where that is rare.
A live call poll.
Did you respond? I'm curious.
Yeah.
You engage with the polls?
I recorded the whole thing.
Of course.
I'll play it and let you hear it.
Okay.
Not on the air, but you'll be interested in my responses. But it's surprising to hear a live call like that and ask questions versus, you know, an AI or an automated or, you know, a survey type poll. So that was really interesting to see. And actually, I have also received a call from text from Jolly's campaign. So I thought that was interesting because I'm a Republican. Everything I normally get's Republican for me to see.
Everybody.
Jolly prior to the primary was interesting.
I've seen a lot of ads against Jolly. I've not seen any ads for Jolly. But I've run polls before on Democratic primaries and elections that I've volunteered on. I have been the one calling people, and it is a fascinating exercise in civic engagement to talk to voters and just hear what they have to say. Most of them pretty mad. I would say most poll respondents are pretty mad. Maybe that's a fault of the questions that we happen to be asking, which tend to be, you know, push polls tend to be pushing you in a certain direction, mm-hmm. asking about hot button topics that will have a favorable response.
What were they mad about? Mad about that you were calling, or did you
mad get... about the mad about the subject matters
right.
that I would raise, be it, you know, taxation or the military or gay issues or whatever. They were spirited, and you know what? That's good. Better be spirited. Better be mad than apathetic or agnostic.
Did you find that they were familiar with the topics? In
no, but the, no, oh no. I was gonna couch that in some, you know, defensive democracy, but no. But they had their opinions.
Right. You know? Although and not
these people vote
well versed in it.
Not well versed. You know, you ask a follow up question and they, you know, their knowledge Crickets. Quickly evaporates. Yeah. But just again, just a fascinating exercise in democracy.
Well, we get the government we deserve, right? And however engaged
what
we
are. What
does
that say about us?
Right, right. Something that I would, you know, I wanted to add with when Derek was here, you know, you and I being around politics a lot, Republicans write checks and Democrats show up.
Yeah.
You know, they show up and walk. And it was interesting to hear him say, you know, their focus is that. The Democrats' focus is that, is to getting people engaged to go walk and door knock and work with the candidates and help. I find that that's a challenge in Republican races, that you have people, you know, show up to go walk and, you know, or knock doors mm-hmm. or wave signs. It's difficult to get people out to do that, and I don't know why that it's that way. From a political party standpoint, from a Republican side or a Democrat side, I don't know why it is that way. That saying Republicans write checks and Democrats
I wonder if it's
show
because
up or volunteer.
Democrats tend to rely more on minority voters, and those voters respond better to door-to-door outreach. I also just think it's the party that's not in power, mm-hmm. Democrats in this case, have to do more mobilization and footwork, you know, to actually get out the vote.
Gotcha.
But we will be back in just a second. This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
Roxanne Evans. Luigi Mangione is expected to plead guilty in federal court in the killing of the United Healthcare CEO. He could face life in prison. Fox's Chanley Painter.
Sounds like Mangione will essentially be throwing himself at the mercy of the court, hoping that with his cooperation, his lack of criminal history, his education, his background, he will get something less.
Alex Murdoch back in a South Carolina courtroom. The disbarred lawyer fighting to move his upcoming retrial out of the county where he was convicted of murdering his wife and son. Tropical storm Lala could become a hurricane when it hits Hawaii. Fox weather meteorologist Craig Herrera.
It is likely and a high probability that this will be a Category 1 storm as it approaches the Big Island and scoots south of the rest of the islands.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got mostly sunny skies. It is 85 degrees, and we'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. Brooke Richardson, that's up here in just a few minutes. Escambia deputies are investigating a murder yesterday morning in the Ferry Pass area. They responded to an apartment on Spanish Trail near Creighton Road, where they found a man in his 50s dead from a gunshot wound. According to the sheriff's office, his roommates found him and called deputies. No other details have been released. An investigation is ongoing into that incident. A Santa Rosa County commissioner asked code enforcement yesterday to strictly enforce right-of-way rules on political campaign signs, regardless of who they belong to. The commissioner said his own signs had been removed from the right-of-way and asked the same standard apply to everyone, including sitting commissioners. County officials confirmed that code enforcement was conducting a sign sweep the same day. Santa Rosa Crime Stoppers says its anonymous tip program Speak Out has helped prevent more than 15 student suicides over the past 8 years. The program, launched after the Parkland shooting, lets students, staff, and parents submit anonymous tips about weapons, drugs, or concerning behavior. Program officials say that tips have grown from a few hundred a year to several a day. Superintendent Karen Barber says the program has proven life-saving, crediting it with helping to save a student recently that was in crisis before it was too late. Well, turnout continues climbing ahead of the primary election next week. in Escambia County so far. As of this morning, nearly 22,000 of the county's roughly 204,000 active voters have cast ballots, putting turnout at just under 11%. Republicans account for about 54% of the ballots cast so far, followed by Democrats at around 36%. In Santa Rosa County, more than 10,000 of the county's nearly 142,000 active voters have voted, turnout just over 7%, with Republicans making up more than 73% of ballots cast. Early voting continues ahead of Election Day on August 18th. An electrical problem being blamed for a fire that destroyed a guest house in Cantonment Thursday. Crews responded to find heavy flames coming from a 600-square-foot structure behind the main home on Stefani Road. Firefighters had that under control within about 20 minutes of responding. Santa Rosa County officials say new legal guidance played a role in pulling a fire district's loan request from Thursday's agenda. County Administrator Brad Baker said his office found a relevant attorney general opinion that prompted further review before the $300,000 request could move forward.
I had discussions with the attorney's office. We found a AG opinion. I talked with the fire chief and decided that we would do a little more investigation and have more conversations and decide if we wanted to bring, if he wanted to make another request or not after reviewing that. And he agreed.
And no timeline was given for when Navarre Beach Fire Rescue District's loan request might come back to the Santa Rosa County Board. And let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We're going to be seeing a hot day today with a heat advisory in place, high near 96 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, 40% chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, high near 95 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping a 40% chance of rain on your Sunday with a high near 94 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 85 degrees. We've got mostly sunny skies across the area. Checking in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash. 9 Mile Road at Klondike, no roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash and injuries, Pensacola Boulevard at Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thank you very much, PJ. It is 8:35, your next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime it happens. And your money now for this morning. We've got a mixed open on Wall Street. The Dow down 5.5 points at 53,834.50. S&P 500 down 4.75 points. Up 4 points now. Moves quickly. 7,803.17. NASDAQ is up 28.5 points. 10-year bond rate up slightly today, 4.653%. Gold prices up $22 at $44.42.40. Silver up 27 cents at $65.27. Bitcoin is down $713 at $62.632.70. Looking at those always important oil prices today. West Texas Intermediate down 4 cents at $81.21 a barrel, and Brent crude is down 18 cents, trading at $86.89 per barrel this morning. Looking at gas prices, the national average today for a gallon of regular is up just a bit at $4.07. Locally, we're still seeing much better prices than that. Average prices around Escambia County at $3.54 per gallon. Santa Rosa, $3.62 a gallon this morning. Okaloosa, $3.66. Well, OpenAI has lost another top executive.
The tech company said that Chief Revenue Officer Denise Dresser is leaving after 8 months to pursue other opportunities. She's the second senior executive to leave OpenAI this week. On Tuesday, Chief Operating Officer Brad Lightcap announced his departure, saying he was going to start something new. The departures come as OpenAI prepares to go public, which could happen next year. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And it's 8:38, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
While every other media outlet was in regular programming, Pensacola Right Now covered a hostage situation as it happened.
Breaking news this afternoon, we are following an incident. This is in reference to a person who's threatening to harm himself in one of the apartments. We broke this story during the 4 o'clock hour. There was rumor circulating that a child was also in that apartment. I just received word less than 60 seconds ago. The child has now been released.
Pensacola Right Now, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Something we don't get to do very often.
Yeah.
You and I on the wrap at the same time.
I know. I think it's only happened once or twice.
Without Andrew.
Oh, that's never happened.
That's never. Yeah. We get to do the wrap ourselves.
And never will again.
Right. At the end of the show,
yes.
It'll be our sign off forever.
Set the door. Yes. It's the last you'll hear from us. Last dispatch.
So I have a friend and political consultant that I've worked with in the past. Who is going to be joining us today. If we lose him, he's going to have to call back in. His name is Woodrow Johnston. He is an award-winning Republican pollster and strategist and the founder of Revere Solutions. He is the most accurate pollster in Nevada's presidential race, and his work later earned him a 2025 award for best use in polling. He's a pretty sharp guy, and I've been real impressed at the time that I've worked with him. Do we have Woodrow on with us?
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. No problem. How's everything going with you, man?
Living the dream, brother.
Yeah.
You know, of course, every day you win the lottery when you're in the USA, man.
That's right. That's right. We were talking about that earlier. I don't know if you were listening to the earlier show or earlier parts of the show, but Josh and I were talking about you don't really appreciate how good you've got it if you never leave the United States and see how it is, you know, around the rest of the world. We do really, truly live in the greatest country there is on the planet, and we are spoiled to live here. I wanted to get you on to talk about not just local races, but national stuff and how, you know, the effects of polling and technology and how things have changed in recent years, especially since, you know, I've referenced early in the show, post-COVID, and how early voting has changed. You had a big push right after COVID, early voting, mail-in ballots. That was a big deal. Everybody wanted to do it. Now it looks like the pendulum has swung the other direction that, you know, the voters are now saying, well, I don't want to do it early. I don't want to do a mail-in vote. I want to either go in person early or I want to show up day of. So we've seen some stuff here that we've had low voter turnout in regards to previous elections here. Are you seeing the same thing, you know, nationally and the races you've been involved in this political cycle?
Yeah, well, I think it often it's a little bit among partisan lines for the most part. I mean, you know, conservatives, they like to vote in person. They like to vote on election day. You know, with that said, I mean, you know, when the president said, hey, you know, if ballot harvesting is going to become the norm, as it has in a lot of states, you know, Republicans are going to have to become masters of ballot harvesting. And so we did. So, which I always joke was probably the fastest way to get Democrats to want to ban it. We're definitely seeing lower turnout than I would have expected. You know, now that we're, you know, in early voting in Florida. But you know, who's to say how it's going to go? I mean, I think that, you know, historically it's a midterm. You know, I would say the closest election cycle this is 2018. You know, in 2018 the economy was doing really great, and you know, we still lost the House. You know, it would be unusual for us to keep the House in a midterm cycle, but I'm optimistic. Between, you know, kind of the gerrymandering wars that have happened that have largely kind of gone our way, but not as well as I would have liked. I feel pretty good. And, you know, if there's a time to defy history, it's now.
Nice, nice. And you referenced in 2018 from a standpoint of that was before COVID. I mean, I think the effects of that had a lot to do with the midterms during the previous president too. So talk to me a little bit about technology and how social media has changed the influence on campaigns and races. The old adage was, well, I say old, I mean, within the past 10 years, you can't win a race on social media. But I think every election cycle, you see more and more impact on social media, on races, on steering people's opinions. I mean, traditionally, it was whatever you saw on broadcast news or over the radio or whatever mailer showed up in your mailbox. Do you see that's the case, that social media is driving how people, you know, decide who they're going to vote for more so now than it has previously?
You know, I would say it has for a while, and it continues to do so. How it's being used is different. I would say, you know, distrust for what you see on social media is higher. So you're going to take seriously probably what you see either a regular person or at best, you know, someone you know or trust, what they say, probably a little bit more seriously. So we've seen kind of this rise of relational organizing. You know, you see more people like, and what that is basically, you know, campaigns are doing is they're trying to get volunteers to reach out to their friends, because that's just going to be treated, you know, with a higher, you know, with higher trust than just the campaign page posting something, right? And you know, it's funny, Jonathan. I'm sure you've heard this conversation from candidates. Oh, I just want to go viral, you know. And you know, it's nice to go viral, but you know, when you're running for county commission or Congress or really any office that's not president of the United States, you know, going viral just means that a lot of people in a lot of different places spread out across the country know who you are. And I don't, you know, if you're running for, I don't know, Escambia County Commission or Pensacola City Council, how useful is it that a bunch of people in Wisconsin and Missouri and Georgia and New York know who you are? It's not that useful.
Right.
So
unless you spend money to target your audience. I'm staring across this screen, peeking over at Josh, and he has not chimed in on anything yet. But I'm curious to hear Josh's thoughts from his previous experience on races as from a Democrat side.
Well, I do have a question for you, Woodrow. But first, let's go to traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thanks, Josh. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that's looking good as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, I've spoken at length about my disillusionment with the Florida Democratic Party, and I think the Escambia Democratic Party is doing things the right way. You brought up social media, and I'm curious, Woodrow, why do you believe the right has historically had more success on social media? I mean, my side would say the reason that Republicans have more success on social media is because social media tends to advantage and prioritize this type of, you know, fulminating, provocative discourse that, you know, the president really excels in. But I want to hear from you. First, do you agree that the right is better than the left at quote unquote social media? And then if you do, why do you believe that is?
You know, it's funny. I would say it's more recently true in the last 10 years that I would say the right has gotten better, you know, is better on social media. I would say in the Obama days, that was not the case.
Mm.
And there's kind of this joke on the internet. We say like the left can't meme.
Right. Right. Yes.
And I think it's a little bit of a cultural shift that you can kind of attribute it to. I mean, back in, you know, when Obama was elected, it was kind of punk rock and cool to, maybe I'm dating myself by saying that, to be a Democrat. Now, and then with the rise of Trump, it was more rebellious to be a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So, And to some extent, even though the internet's been around for a while, it's still, you know, the dagnam internet and them kids, right?
Right.
So of course, something that's more youth driven is going to embrace technology more than, you know. So I would say, it's a combination of a cultural aspect, but you know, Republicans are usually not the first to discover things, but they're usually the ones that find it and perfect it.
Yeah.
In a way, it's kind of like how, you know, we didn't invent pizza in America, but we definitely perfected it. And that's how I would kind of look at it.
Is there any truth to this notion that, Jen, to your point about the youth, the sort of libertine youth, that Gen Z is drifting rightward? And if so, do you see that having an impact? Because that is also historically the demo least likely to vote.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, Gen Z is probably, you know, at least in this last presidential election, is probably the most conservative generation we've had since the baby boomers. Wow. And I would say millennials are not as conservative as Gen Z. Latest polls have shown kind of a self-correction to that. But you're right. I mean, in midterms, Gen Z is probably less likely to vote than their older peers. So we'll see.
Yeah. Woodrow, the historically, Democrats, we were talking about this earlier, show up and volunteer. And you like to put parties into a box. Republicans write checks and Democrats show up and volunteer. Well, along that same vein, the Democrats, you know, like you say, they don't meme. What is define a Democrat? And I think it's a lot broader spectrum of what someone is a Democrat. It's easy to say, oh, Republicans are conservatives. Really easy to put a Republican to a box. Oh, you're Republican, or you're conservative, either fiscal or socially conservative. I mean, would you agree with that? That it's kind of more focused on how easily it is to define a Republican versus a Democrat, and that might be why the Democrats aren't as effective as they used to be from a social media standpoint, because it's such a broad spectrum. I mean, liberal, right? I mean, yeah. It well, opens up the aperture for all kinds of different things.
Well, you know, whatever you have to say about it, you know, socialism as a concept, communism, which some would say is an exaggeration, but, maybe I wouldn't say it was an exaggeration. I'd say it's accurate, but it's still unpopular. So there's still kind of a struggle for the soul of the Democratic Party going on. I mean, you see it in these primaries where there really isn't a struggle for the soul of what makes a Republican. So I would agree with you. I would kind of agree with your premise there to some extent that, Democrats don't quite know whether they are progressive or, socialist, or, you know, if they're kind of, you know, they, you know, because, you know, even Democrat is kind of like what it means to be Democrat has largely changed. A Democrat today compared to even a Democrat in the 90s during the Bill Clinton era or a Democrat during JFK is vastly different. So when you have such a large tent, it can be difficult to coalesce and get everyone motivated.
It is that. I mean, I spoke earlier on the show about the DSA. And I sort of agree with your comments about their insurgency into the traditional Democratic Party. But I think you're letting the right off the hook a little too easily. I mean, I think there is the right, you know, the civil war among the right is much discussed among the commentariat. I mean, you know, you have the Trump doctrine, whatever that is. You have traditional conservatism, you have libertarian or evangelical conservatism. It seems to me Republicans are similarly split as well. Do you not agree?
No, I wouldn't, because okay. I would even say that even the moderate or so-called moderates or establishment Republicans or and all the way to conservative Republicans They're still talking about their affinity to Trump, they try to make some case about, it's pragmatic. I actually agree and believe in the same things you do. We just have to work with the other side to get it done, or it's a matter of messaging or tone. It's not really a difference in application.
Interesting. Is that waning, you think, or is that as strong as it's ever been?
I think it's as strong as it's ever been. I think that for the most part, I think they're kind of beating to the same drum to the same extent, and there may be a difference in style to get there, but I would say that it's very much the same.
You see that, Jonathan?
I don't know, man. My perception, and I'm just, some guy here in Panhandle of Pensacola, I see a little bit of a fracturing within the Republican Party as a result of Trump. It's easy to say, oh, you're a MAGA guy, or, well, what is that? That's like back to what's a Democrat, right?
Yeah, pick the day.
Right. Yeah. What is MAGA and what is a Democrat? I mean, my uncle and my mom, too, Southern Democrat, right? I mean, that's very different. Mm-hmm. Than today's Democrat, the Dixiecrats of old. It's very different. It's hard to, I guess, put it in an easy definition on. But I do think there's some division within the Republican Party along the Trump lines. Is that fair to say? What do you think, Woodrow? Are you still with us?
Yeah, I do, but I just see it as a more of a personality-driven thing than a policy-driven thing.
Gotcha. We're going to have to break for a second for traffic on the fives. Let's get PJ in here.
All right, I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Not seeing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Hey, Woodrow, let's talk about the mechanics of campaigns. Does it really matter about political party on this? Polling. And live polling versus text, survey type polling, push polling. What are you seeing that you're getting the most response rates from? For your clients that hire you, what are you kind of directing them to get the best return on their money from, their spend to actually get the information that they're trying to extrapolate out of the voter?
Sure. And probably my most controversial stance on this as far as pollsters go, there's always like, oh, we got to get this many live calls to cell phones and this many calls to landlines. And I just think none of that matters. In fact, I don't even like doing live calls anymore. I just feel like that there's a natural, it doesn't matter what you do. There's going to be a bias. There's going to be a bias when you are talking to a person. People are generally agreeable. People are generally, they tell you what you kind of want to hear. I don't tell people what they want to hear, and that's what gets me in trouble. I'm a big believer in text message polling. I still am. It's harder. The response rates are lower. But it's still cheaper than paying for a call center to call people and ask them what they think about stuff. It was funny that there was this idea that people were going to tell pollsters back when Obama was running that they were going to vote for that the people that were going to vote for Obama and not actually vote for Obama because of some sort of innate racism, but they didn't want people to think they were racist. But I guess it turned out to be the opposite.
Right.
They wanted people to think that they weren't going to vote for Obama, but they actually were going to vote for Obama. So people seem to have, pollsters haven't always learned that lesson. And we've even seen a lot of these public pollings that, like, not be accurate in places like Michigan or Wisconsin. And I think it's because of the over-reliance on live calls. I don't believe in them anymore. I think, if I'm not being honest, I don't think I ever did. And that's probably my most controversial stance, is that you know, and you know, if you can collect the poll like a machine or anonymously, then I think that you're going to get a more truthful response.
I think it makes sense, though, Josh. Think about it. I mean, you and I are aligned in a lot of things when we're talking face to face.
Right.
I'm more cordial, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to say you're a demon rat or
right.
one name, some kind of name calling to a Democrat. Versus if I'm doing a poll, I might be more honest. I might type out or choose a selection that I wouldn't necessarily say to someone on the other end of the phone because it's easier.
I have to say, I was all ready to disagree with you, Udrow. I was positioning my argument, but the more you talked, I think you're right that as much as I am in favor of human to human interaction and communication, excising that may in fact lead to more brutal honesty. I mean, you saw that with Trump, right? In 2016, a lot of people thought that maybe there was this secret contingency of people who supported Trump but didn't want to admit they supported Trump. And then, of course, we saw that when he outperformed the polls.
Yeah.
But just fascinating.
Woodrow, man, we are down and out of time. We are all the way up to 9 o'clock hour. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts and your viewpoints on this, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good one. Jonathan Owens, Josh Newby, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 1620. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this morning. We really enjoyed it.
Signing off.
You're listening.